Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. The topic is how data analytics created value at Uber. And we had a very exciting interview to prepare for this show here, where we spoke to a data analytics expert, finance expert, who's worked in some iconic companies. So I'm very excited to share her perspectives with all of you today. The format is the same as usual. Anyone can come on stage to share perspectives, so ask a question. All you need to do is raise your hand and come on up. As I mentioned, we interviewed a data analytics expert and finance expert today for the show, Rose Jung Pankotas. She's the founder and CEO of Sidosi, or FP&A Teams. They basically make performance management software. Before starting Sidosi, Rose was CFO at Scale Factor and Fundbox. Early in her career at Uber, Rose ran global pricing, founded the finance data science team, and was the first regional CFO for US and Canada. Prior to joining Uber, Rose oversaw global data science analytics for TV, movies, podcasts, and educational content at Apple on iTunes. So some almost unparalleled experience within data analytics that we got a chance to speak to today. Rose has an MBA from UCLA Anderson and a bachelor in economics from MIT. I couldn't imagine a better person to have talked to about data analytics and the impact it can make, and especially what's the relationship with finance, because Rose is both a senior finance leader and a senior data analytics leader. So Rose describes herself as a curious generalist. She began her career in software development, and there she quickly found herself gravitating towards data science. This move catalyzed the next phase of her working life, which has seen her work in data analytics and finance positions for a number of obviously category-defining companies. It's also this move that makes Rose the ideal expert to call on for this series, as I also mentioned. We're focusing on the relationship in data analytics and the finance function. We've been talking about this for 2 months now. It's been the governing topic for the launch of the Hashtag Finance Master Show, as well as the Hashtag Finance Master Podcast. And it's coming to an end now. We have one interview left for next week, and then we will go into the next series and next topic. If you're just joining us, you can definitely catch up on previous articles and shows in this series, either by reading this morning's blog post that we released in the newsletter Trends in Finance and Accounting. Go to the bottom there, you shall find all the previous articles, or you can catch up on the podcast. We are 5-6 weeks behind the show here, releasing weekly episodes as well. And there you can listen in to the full Hashtag Finance Master Show. And you'll also be able to listen to the full interview with the special guest we've had. Last week, we had Prashant Surikal on the show. And this week, we are basing it on interview with Rose Pankotas. Next week, we are talking to Collier, who's a finance professional taking interest in data analytics. So obviously, Rose's career so far has been outstanding in some way, at least if we consider how finance and data analytics teams are beginning to work together. After completing her MBA, she told me she basically just applied for an open position at iTunes. So even that way is also a way to get into Apple. And obviously there she got exposed to extremely large proprietary data sets. She explained to me, understand the amount of data that she was working with. Think about every app you download on your iPhone, iPad, or any iOS device. And then any content you purchase or view, all of this becomes data points. And she was just so fascinated by the behavioral aspect of that data and how you could translate that to inform product decisions. Every behavior we do as humans, it's not all of it that's recorded and registered in some sort of system, but a lot of what we do online obviously is. And a lot of how we interact with different kind of online products will be registered. And that's a gold mine for doing data analytics. Obviously, we need to comply with the GDPR regulations and whatever else personal data protection laws you have, but it's just a gold mine. And as you can hear, Rose was pretty fascinated to dive into that. And while she was interested in data analytics, it's actually more the human element of it that sort of piqued her interest, because there's a human behind most data points. Of course, also have the Internet of Things, where devices also create data, but obviously usually guided by humans as well. She'd spent time in her education by ingesting, cleaning, and manipulating data, but it was the opportunity to translate that abstract information into concrete outcomes and insight that set the course for the rest of her career. One that placed her at the intersection of data, behavioral science, finance, and business development. This is, I think it's 10 years back, right? So even today, some might say, well, this is at the forefront of what we want to do in business. Back then, maybe it was cutting edge also, something that only the biggest companies were doing, but they were doing it and they were developing insights and they were using it to inform their decision making. So Rose, after a stint at Apple and iTunes, she joined Uber in 2013 and she described the situation by saying, there was a data team with a data scientist on it, but it was more focused on the engineering side of things. So obviously Uber is a 100% digital product with a lot of data engineering that needs to be done to build and continuously expand this product. And obviously you need people with data science, data analytics skills there as well. So the company's controversial search pricing feature was already in operation. I don't know if you have tried an Uber, but obviously depending on the demand at a particular spot, the price might go up. And behind that, of course, needs to be data and algorithms. But the internal understanding of this part of the product was limited. It was very macro, Rose said, like whether a whole city was searching or not. And obviously, unless it's a very small town, we're probably in a loop anyway, knowing whether the New York is searching or not probably doesn't mean a whole lot. So Rose understood that to be an accurate and helpful lever, the company needed to make search pricing far more granular. Rather than the level of a city, Uber needed to work at the level of the neighborhood or individual block. Things needed to be more granular. So initially at Uber, Rosa says that there were two sets of data teams. One was a product, so developing the product, engineering, and so on, and an analytics. And what she started was the finance data science team. So you could have data science teams across the company, supporting different functions depending on the need. And certainly in finance, we could also use data science and analytics teams to support us in our insight generation. The objectives for these teams, they were also quite different. On the finance side, they were trying to forecast literally billions of trips and millions of movements across the whole globe. And they were trying to capture that in their financial model alongside variable pricing. Just imagine that, how many data points they needed to analyze and capture in a model in order to develop useful insight. That granularity, Rose said, is very difficult to do in Excel and the resource available. Excel has a million rows. It's just not possible. So clearly it extends beyond the traditional finance capabilities to do that kind of analysis. Luckily, she had the opportunity to hire a data science team to help essentially forecast the metrics that investors would care about. So this is in the finance world. We need to have a view, forecast, and metrics that investors and, of course, decision makers as well would be looking at. And, of course, also figure out how much cash you would need to burn to get to the level that the company was aspiring to. This kind of extreme granularity combined with a deep understanding of the business needs enabled Rose and her team to encourage better decision making at every level. I find this so extremely fascinating, right? This is data to insight to impact in action. So here it is 10 years ago, more or less. That macro forecast drove a lot of the budget and decisions in different parts of the company, whether it was hiring, engineering, or spending on marketing and promotions, he said. So just bringing that example to everyone here, I think it's highly fascinating. I think there's many people that often wonder, myself included, what's it like to work inside of these companies? What resources do they have available? How do they work to create value? So hearing one of these stories and one of these examples, at least I thought was pretty fascinating. For Rose, it's all about thinking strategically. It's not just about being operational with the data and finding out trends and patterns. She highlights that the question is one of value. And I love that, right? Because it's all about value creation, what we do in companies. Even if your value definition is not shareholder value creation, but something wider, it's still about value. how do we create value for shareholders, stakeholders, society, customers, and so on and so on. It really is a question about value. And data science is an extremely important skill set, but it only becomes truly useful when it's put to the service of broader strategic goals. So at every stage, Roel says, it's crucial for data and finance professionals to ask how and whether they are creating value. Ask yourself, what decision am I going to make when analyzing this data? Or if someone gives you a task or discusses an issue, and they say, can you please look into XYZ? Ask them, okay, so what decision do you expect to make based on this data? This is crucial perspective to have as finance and data professionals. Too often we just spend so much time working with data and reporting analysis that we sort of lose our head in it. We lose the sight of the overall goal, the overall purpose of why we're doing the work that we are doing. And on the most fundamental level, it means understanding the role that data is playing for individual teams and within the organization as a whole, and how it can be better leveraged. So Rose explains a bit further here. She said, I think it's important for anyone in data analytics, whether you're formally in that role or not, to understand the objective. We know there's so much data out there. It's like searching for a needle in a haystack. But first you have to know what the needle looks like. It's also something I've been saying a lot lately, that it's difficult to find a needle in a haystack, obviously. But if you don't even know what you're looking for, it's never going to happen. And I think too often when we do analysis in finance and probably also in other functions, we are not clear about what we're looking for. We dump data into a spreadsheet or other tool, and then we do some sort of filtering and pivoting and whatnot, hoping that the answer will appear. And by all means, it might. But it's a very inefficient way of doing analysis. And more likely than not, even the answer you find is probably less effective than the answer you could have found if you knew what you were looking for. So whether you're answering a question for product, a question for the CEO or the CFO, it's important to really understand the objective of the question. What decision is being made? This is so critical for all finance professionals. If you don't understand what are the key decisions that the stakeholders I support are making, then almost whatever work you will do will be kind of futile or at best inefficient. I'd recommend anyone supporting business leaders to simply map out a RACI chart. So what's your stakeholder responsible for? What are they accountable for? Who should they consult when they make these key decisions? And who will be informed? If you're always the one being informed, you're behind the curve. You need to get ahead of the curve to at least be consulted. And sometimes you can even be responsible for driving some of the key decisions that your stakeholders are making. They will ultimately be accountable, but you're there to help them be successful. So why not take responsibility for driving some of those initiatives? I think that's the best position we can be in as far as professionals. I at least had a great time speaking with Rose. There was lots of other things that we managed to discuss in the interview, not least the intersection between finance and data analytics. Obviously, Rose knows the both sides of the coin. So I'm really excited to release the full interview on the podcast. Why don't I take the opportunity to come up on stage and maybe share perspectives on what are you doing to support decision-making in your company? Are you aware of the key decisions that your stakeholders are making, or are you more looking at it from your own finance perspective, analyzing gaps and then highlighting those to the stakeholders, hoping that they find it important? We are getting Vasya up on stage. Hey, Vasya, how are you?
Good. How are you, Anders?
I am doing very well, thanks, and great to have you here back on stage. Maybe just give a brief introduction of yourself to the audience and then feel free to share your perspective.
Sure. I'm Wasia Kaman. I'm in the U.S. working at VP of Finance and Accounting for a chemical manufacturer in Georgia.
So what perspective do you have on, let's say, driving the right decisions as a finance or data analytics professional?
Something that's so valuable wherever you're working, it allows you to ask the right question and constantly challenge the status quo rather than inheriting something that was done before and trying to improve what was done before. It allows you to go into new territories and bring value creation where it wasn't seen before. And that's something I really like about the whole story. So thanks for sharing it.
It's my pleasure. And I really like the point that you mentioned, Vasya, about asking questions. I probably sometimes put too big of a burden onto finance professionals by saying they need to put forward recommendations of how we can improve things. And by all means, they should, but it's just as valuable to ask insightful questions that inspire a dialogue that will lead to action. Because honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's your recommendation or a recommendation from someone else that we decide on to move forward, as long as we have put our insights on the table, facilitated the dialogue, and reached some solid recommendations. So I think asking insightful questions is as good as making recommendations, I would say, because it's impossible that we can have the right recommendations all the time. Maybe, I don't know, 10% of the time, will we be able to come up with a very amazing recommendation that is just the right decision to make. But more often, we'll just be asking the questions. That's at least my perspective. I don't know. What do you think, Vasya?
Yes, I agree. Because sometimes asking questions, it jots the other person. It gets the other person to think in other ways. So even if the recommendation doesn't necessarily comes from you, but at least you start the engine going on, okay, let's think more about it and let's brainstorm to come together and bring something that will be useful for the organization as a whole. So I think that's why I love the part about asking questions and being curious, because it helps everybody in the room pretty much get to that decision or recommendation that's needed in that situation.
Absolutely. And of course, we need to do some analysis to be able to ask those questions. But of course, we cannot fall in the trap of only doing the analysis and then just sending an email with the questions or with the analysis and then hoping that something will happen. We need to insert ourselves into the discussion and then be at the table. I think that's really the only way we can make these insights count. And I didn't get to discuss that part exactly of how Rose was able to influence these decisions, but it was still very fascinating to hear how she was thinking about using data analytics also in the finance space. All right, we're getting Antoine up on stage here. Feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective or ask a question.
Thank you, Anders. Thank you. My name is Antoine Kaikati. First and foremost, by risk management, I'm talking about the opportunity part of risk. So the Uber example, what you mentioned, that led eventually for data analytics to be integrated fully with finance and smoothly and nicely. Yes, that helps really, not only in forecasting, I think as well in FP&A storytelling.
No, absolutely. And now you mentioned risk management as well, which is an area of finance that is typically hidden away as a sort of corporate function with some checklist that needs to be filled out whenever something big is happening in the company. Whereas instead, it should really be embedded in everything we do, in every decision that we make. We should be considering not just risk, but also opportunity. Actually, the whole function or team should just be renamed to risk and opportunity management. I think it sends a negative signal that we only look at the risk. So if we can definitely balance the risk and opportunity management, I think we'll make much better decisions. Because what is a decision? A decision is made up of opportunities and risks. And opportunities we need to maximize, and risks we need to mitigate. Maybe some we need to eliminate, but this definitely shouldn't be the default setting that all risks should be eliminated, because well, then there's probably no profit left anyway. So maximize well, minimize well, and you make a better decision and you execute better. So it's a really like the perspective also on the risk management that you brought up there. So thanks for sharing that as well. All right, that seems to be it for today. We have talked about an interview I did with Rose Pankanis, former data analytics leader at both Uber and Apple, now the founder and CEO of Sedozi, an FP&A performance management software company. So Rose has taken her learnings from data analytics and finance to found her own company to help finance professionals manage performance even better. You can check out the company at sedozi.com. That's sudozi.com, and see what she's up to. You can also listen to the full interview in the podcast. So I hope you will take the opportunity to listen and check out all these resources. Next week, we have the final interview in the Finance versus Data Analytics series. We're talking to Kolya Minevsky, who's a finance professional, very interested in data analytics, but seeing it from a finance perspective. After that, we conclude the finance versus data analytics series, and we move on to an adjacent topic, which is the data to impact journey, inspired by Brent Dyke's analytics marathon. So really looking forward to that. Lots of great content to come. Thanks everyone for listening today. Thanks Vasya. Thanks Antoine for being up on stage. Truly appreciate that. The show wouldn't be the same without you. Thanks a lot. Thanks, everyone. And see you next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?